Your personal information is being sold online right now. Not by hackers, but by data brokers. Companies you've never heard of collect your details and sell them. Hundreds of these sites gather your phone number, home address, relatives' information, and browsing activity. Once your data is out there, it spreads fast. That's why scam calls know your name, and strangers can look you up in seconds. Opting out manually takes hours per site. With no guarantee it stays gone. Aura does it for you. They automatically find your information, send removal requests to over 200 data broker sites, and continuously monitor to ensure it stays completely gone. Because your data can be relisted at any time, Aura lets you see exactly where and when your data was found and removed. Try Aura for free at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe. To try Aura for free.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starr.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. Great to have you with us today as we broadcast border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. And a lot going on today. The war in Iran is about to be ratcheted up a few notches. And the president announcing earlier today that we're going to be taking Karg Island. So we're going to get into to some of that here in just a little while. And I know many of you have grave concerns about what's happening there in the Middle East. And also how long this is going on. The president also mentioning when it comes to inflation, and we'll play some audio from this a little bit later on, the president talking about how he loves inflation. I don't think that he meant it the way he thought he meant it, but no doubt about it, there are a lot of people making a lot of political hay about that. And the fact of the matter is inflation is going up. I suspect it will come crashing down once we finish whatever is happening in the Middle East with Iran. But right now, there's no indication that this is going to end anytime soon. And we could be dealing with this issue going all the way at least until August at the earliest. So we'll get into more of that in just a little while. Also, we're following some breaking news out of the Pentagon where a shelter-in-place order, this is all happening in the past, half hour or so, and the Pentagon has been ordered, at least parts of the Pentagon have been ordered to shelter in place. There is a hazmat crew on the scene. There's been some sort of a hazardous materials incident at the Pentagon. We don't have any other information. There's a very large police and first responder presence. We understand that some areas of the Pentagon have, in fact, been evacuated. And this is all tied into some sort of an air quality issue. So we have the story and the information that is currently available at ToddStearns.com right now, including some video. So again, we don't know if this is a real problem. If this was, I don't know, they said air quality issue. We don't know if it was Taco Thursday at the Pentagon. We don't know. But as soon as we get more information, we will certainly share that with you. So look, this Carmelo Anthony story just gets more and more bizarre. And some of the rhetoric coming from black lawmakers and black activists and entertainers and musicians, it's just weird. It's off the charts. And now you actually have, there's a video, there's something happening on social media where people are now running around and they're just randomly attacking white people. And it's a very dangerous situation, but you've got a lot of these activists that are out there now telling people, you know what, we're so angry that a black guy got punished for killing a white guy that we want you, black person to go out and attack a white person. Now, you would think this would be wall-to-wall coverage, breaking news, but no, the media is turning a blind eye to this. And again, and this bears repeating, because a generation of young people, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, American, you name it, a generation, they've been taught that white people deserve whatever they get. So the white people are the oppressors, and therefore all of us white people should pay a penalty for that. We should pay a price for that. You know, Cardi B is out there, and now she's all upset because she says that she has to tell herself, well, I want you to listen to what Cardi B has to say about this. Cut 39.
I sure learned something from this. I learned to tell my sons, if a white boy, do not argue with no white boys, because baby, ain't no law protecting you if something goes down with them. That's what I learned from this case. I'm going to tell my sons, if you argue with a white boy, walk the fuck away, because the law don't protect you.
All right. Sorry about the language there, ladies and gentlemen. Look, here's the deal. Do we have the our mailbag music? Can we just pull that up? I'm calling an audible here because I feel like we need to have this conversation with, I don't know, black America, white America. No, we need to talk. No, on this show, we call it like we see it. And if white people were running around stabbing black people, we would be having this conversation with white people. Black people of America, I want to share with you just a moment, and Cardi B in particular, because now she's very conflicted, and she's got to sit down and tell her sons that it's not appropriate to go up to a white person and stab them or shoot them or carjack them or rob them. And it's troubling, I suppose, to someone like Cardi B, who has to sit down and have that very difficult conversation with her children. I guess up until now, Cardi B was telling her children that, you know, if you see a white guy walking on the sidewalk, you know what, it's okay. If you're having a bad day, maybe you got a bad grade in school, you can just go up and just stab the living daylights at him. Or if you're living Northern Ireland, you can try to, I don't know, behead the guy. But no, 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 can't do that anymore. No, sirree, no, no, no. It's insane. Thank you for the music, Dylan. It's insane that we have to have these kinds of conversations. By the way, she's not the only one. So on the day of the verdict, some woman was out there, and she was raising holy you-know-what because she was saying that she wanted to know, what am I gonna tell my kids? What do I do? And she was all upset about this. And again, my response to that is, ma'am, you tell your sons if they've got a problem with somebody, you really don't have a right to stab them or shoot them or take their life. You don't have that right. I mean, this is insanity what's going on here. But it is not surprising because this is what critical race theory looks like in practice. And if you're not clear about that, well, cut number 32.
Good crack is a dead crack. Only good crack is a dead crack. Only good cracker is a dead cracker. Only good cracker is a dead cracker. Only good cracker is a dead cracker.
All right. And again, on this program, we prefer the term salting Americans. But again, in this nation, people are allowed to utter those white slurs, if you will, without abandon or with abandon. So there you have it, everybody. The parents, by the way, of Carmelo Anthony are hitting the media circuit now, and their argument is that every single person who testified lied. Every single one of them, including all the black eyewitnesses who testified as to what they saw and who instigated the fight and how it all went. They're saying every single person conspired to lie about their son. You know, I know this guy got 35 years in prison. I think they should have thrown the book at this kid. 99 years in prison. That's the maximum sentence for killing someone in the state of Texas. And quite frankly, that's what this guy should have gotten. And the message here is really not a racial message. The message is really a message for humanity. You do not have the right to take the life of someone simply because you don't like the color of their skin. Now, the family made all of this, Carmelo Anthony and the family made all this about race, and it had nothing to do with race, but now it has everything to do with race. And the family's responsible for that, Carmelo Anthony's family. But let me tell you something. There is a big problem in this country. Nobody really wants to talk about it, but there's so much black-on-white crime that goes unaddressed in this nation. And for parents like Cardi B and the woman with the five sons down there in Texas wondering, what do we tell our kids? You tell your kids not to kill people. How about that? You want to sit down and have the talk? Great, have that talk. You can, you know what? You can tie it in with the birds and the bees. Just one fell swoop and just get it over with. But what a sad situation we live in. And I talked about this on the Newsmax show last night. That ultimately, this is all a spiritual problem, right? It really is. And until we can understand that we are all made in God's image, that you are not better or worse because of skin color, we are all equal at the foot of the cross. Until we can understand that concept, we're never going to really solve anything in this country. I mean, it's just going to continue to get worse. All right, got to take a break here. When we come back, your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, Congressman Tom McClintock out of California is going to be joining us. Also, a very disturbing story about a young girl, a female wrestler, who was assaulted by a boy who identified as a girl, and all of this happened during a wrestling match. We're going to be talking to that young lady's attorney coming up in just a little while. Also, Brigadier General John Tykert, Dragon, is going to be here. He's going to give us the very latest on what's happening with the war in Iran. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. And this segment of the Todd Stern Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax, who really want you to make sure you're getting the full benefits you deserve from Social Security. A new study, by the way, finding 70% of Americans are not getting those full benefits. But Social Security expert Michael Allen has five key strategies to help you increase those benefits. I want you to give him a call right now. We're going to send that to you free of charge. 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We're going to text you all of that information. Again, that number, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply.
Hey guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty. And if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, Now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnesPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
And welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go right to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. We're going to say hello to Steve in Houston, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How you doing? I was just listening to, you know, your discussion about what's going on with this stabbing, and it brings to mind, you know, during the 60s, people were marching to Thomas Jefferson's statue, which states that, you know, it's never been more clearly written in the annals of history that all men are created equal. Well, they left out the rest of his quote. If you read his writings, he was terrified about the slavery issue because he believed that we were going to be responsible for the murder of our own grandchildren. And the rest of that quote basically states that, you know, neither is it more clearly written that the two races can't live equally in a society. And if you study the writings of Abraham Lincoln, I mean, they were the same thing. People back then were worried about what would happen, you know, between the two races if we tried to live together after the slavery issue.
So what are you saying here? What's your point, Steve?
I'm not saying that.
No, I'm asking you what your point is here. You've made a statement. I'm just asking you what your point is. That's all.
My point is that the founders were separatists. They did not believe that it was possible for us to all live in an equal society because blacks would be so angered and hostile towards us that even Thomas Jefferson said that we would be responsible for murdering our own grandchildren.
Well, there is no doubt that Lincoln evolved his positions on the race issue. Of course, it was Lincoln who signed the Emancipation Proclamation. So clearly his thinking on that changed. And I would disagree with the founding fathers on that. I do believe that we can all live, but it's not an equal society in the sense of, you know, everybody's going to have a certain amount. Everybody's going to have the same amount of land. Everybody's going to have the same amount of money in the bank account. That's not America. That's not what it means to be an American. And that never will be what it means to be an American. You're going to have rich white people. You're going to have rich black people. You're going to have poor black people. You're going to have poor white people.
I agree with everything you're saying on the issue. What we're seeing now is this critical race theory. You know, it's what children are being taught, and it makes me afraid for my 10-year-old white daughter that's growing up, because if we don't get to the point where we can discuss issues, racial issues, and, you know, it's impossible to discuss. People start getting hostile. They don't want to talk about it. And I think that's the problem in this country, and they need to do away with any kind of critical race theory in school or any of that. If we're ever going to live equally, you know, with the same equal rights, not that we're all equal, because even all people of the same ethnic group are not all equal. Some, you know, have more capabilities than others. But you get what I'm saying. I agree with everything you're saying on this. I think this is a subject that was a concern way back when it started.
Well, I will say this: in the 80s, if you go back to the 80s and the 90s, there was not the, aside from the Rodney King riot, you did not have this racial upheaval that we have now. And the reason why it's being manufactured in our public schools, that's what's happening here. And the American people have just refused to deal with this. I think the American people, by and large, didn't even know what was happening in there, in those classrooms. Steve, thank you. Let's go to North Carolina. Stephen, what's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call. And it bothers me very much, the 35-year sentence. I don't feel like you should reward someone for taking somebody's life, because right now he probably will not even serve 35 years, although he might want to, because he's going to get free room and board, free medical attention. He's going to get three squares a day. He's probably going to be able to get his GED or college degree for that matter. Why should I have to pay for him taking another person's life? I don't like that. I don't want my taxpayer dollars to do that. I think if you take a life, you give a life. And that's all there is to it as far as that goes. Now, as far as the racial aspect, wouldn't it be wonderful? And I've thought about this for years. Isn't it interesting? Matthew, I'm going to use scripture here. Matthew, you know, whatsoever you do to the least of these, that's so you do unto me. Isn't it interesting that God is G-O-D, and the least of thee in Matthew was dog, D-O-G. And dogs don't see black or white. They see in shades of gray. Wouldn't it be wonderful if human beings could forget about color and just treat each other?
Yes, absolutely. But the reality is we do not live in that kind of a country right now. All men are created equal, and that means we have equality of opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. All of us do. Stephen, thank you for that. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger. For quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support, call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mr. Speaker, for 4 years, Democrats actively encouraged the largest illegal mass migration in history, including the most vicious criminals in the world. For the last year, these same Democrats have done everything they can to obstruct, impede, and even attack federal officers who are trying to enforce our immigration laws. Without CBP and ICE enforcing our immigration laws, we have no borders, which means we have no country. That is the effect, if not the design, of the Democrats' refusal to fund these agencies. This bill breaks the Democrats' stranglehold over ICE and CBP funding. Reconciliation is specifically designed to bring mandatory spending in line with limits set by the budget resolution. Instead, we have no choice but to use it to restore the security of our nation. We'll have one more shot at reconciliation for the coming fiscal year, and it must be used to fulfill our responsibility to future generations who are already drowning in our debt.
All right, that is the voice of our next guest, the great congressman from the state of California, Tom McClintock. And again, the issue here, cracking down on illegal immigration, cracking down on these sanctuary city policies. Congressman, good to have you with us today on the show.
Well, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You know, I don't think people realize, truly understand how serious of a situation these sanctuary city policies are. And you guys are, I know you're fired up about this because it's happening very close to Washington, D.C., there in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Well, I mean, it's happening everywhere. There are an estimated 10,000 MS-13 gang members loose in our country now, courtesy of the Biden administration's open borders. Trendy Aragua is active in at least 19 states. The sheriff of Tulare County, near my district, testified a couple of years ago that the Sinaloa cartel is now operating throughout the state of California, and that includes organized execution squads. He estimates that about half the crime he's dealing with in his rural county involves illegal aliens, many of them serving in organized criminal gangs.
Congressman, again, so many issues facing the country, and the Democrats, I think, time and time again, have just stood up, and they have really tried to stand in the way of removing many dangerous illegal aliens from this country.
Oh, yes, this is a deliberate policy. And, you know, they'll say, oh, well, we're all right with deporting dangerous criminals. It's just all the others that we're not all right with deporting. Well, a couple of points on that. First of all, that's a lie. Their own sanctuary laws were specifically designed to keep criminals in this country rather than deporting them. Their actions speak far louder than those words. But more to the point, you know, as I pointed out, without enforcing our immigration laws, we have no immigration laws.
Congressman, I want to switch gears. A lot happening on Capitol Hill and at the White House. The president coming out earlier today and saying he intends to seize Karg Island. I understand that we are ratcheting up the attacks on Iran. Is that a good move that the president is making here, seizing Iran's oil infrastructure?
Yes, this doesn't end any other way than the total collapse of this regime. I think the president made a mistake by pausing hostilities when he did. I'm old-fashioned about this. I think when you've got the enemy on the ropes, you keep punching until he quits. This ceasefire allowed them time to regroup and lick their wounds for a while. But ultimately, I think this is going to end with arming the resistance within Iran. They have been so brutally terrorized for 47 years. The resentment is overwhelming. And if we just get them the arms they need, they can take back their country.
Yeah, Congressman, I'm with you on that. I'm old school too, Congressman. And again, we've been at war with these people since 1979. And I'm glad the president is finally doing something about it. But again, we should, I'm tired of the ceasefires. You can't trust the Iranian leadership. And the reality is, we've got a big problem in this country that is connected to Iran, which is inflation going up, gas prices, everything else. And Congressman, I don't know if you're hearing it from your constituents, but a lot of people around the country are really struggling right now financially.
Well, yes. And a lot of that is because of the temporary spike in energy prices caused on the international market because of the uncertainties involving Iran. The sooner we get that behind us, the sooner people are going to be feeling relief. And don't forget, last year we passed the Big Beautiful Bill, which was one of the largest tax and regulatory reliefs ever passed. It was Reaganomics on steroids. I remember the Reagan recovery. You could feel it in the air. We've already enacted those policies, but they need to get to where people live in their own lives. And Iran is creating a cross current. The sooner we're beyond that, the better.
You know, Congressman, we've been following closely all the developments in California, and I think a lot of people are just staggered to know that they're still counting votes. What they've got, 30-something days, a little over 30-something days, to actually finish counting the votes. Meanwhile, in countries like India, 640 million people, they count all the votes in one day. What is going on in your state there, sir?
Well, the Democrats have torn down all of the safeguards that prevent fraud and that assure that everyone can have confidence in the integrity of the elections. Today, ballots are mailed to everybody on the voter rolls, which are very, very difficult to clean up. We've got thousands, tens of thousands of people who should not be registered to vote but are because they've died or moved. But ballots go out to them, and there's no chain of custody in those ballots from the time they're mailed out until the time they're actually counted in the election results. We used to do, and not only that, but they're also accepting ballots up to 7 days after the election, as long as somebody's written a date predating the election on the envelope. Now, what could possibly go wrong with that? We used to do it the right way. We used to wait till election day. We all went to our neighborhood polling place. We looked our neighbors on the precinct board in the eye as they handed us our ballot. We took that ballot into a curtain booth where nobody could influence our vote, not our spouse, not our caregiver, not our kids, not some political or union hack. We cast that in absolute privacy, took that ballot, literally handed it back to our neighbor, and we watched as they put it in a locked box. By 8 p.m., we knew exactly how many people had voted. By 11 p.m., we knew who'd won. They've destroyed that entire system, and with it, the confidence that people have in the integrity of the count.
Congressman, I'm curious how you feel about this idea of the U.S. Postal Service coming up with the idea that there's an idea that the states have to hand over their full mail-in and absentee voter list, plus every ballot's personalized barcode. Or they could stop doing mail delivery. Look, you got to play hardball with the Democrats. I kind of like this idea. What say you?
Until we can get back in-person election day voting, I think that's the next best thing.
Wow. That being said, I'm just curious. I love the history of the conservative movement being birthed there in Southern California, Orange County, and of course, Reagan and Nixon and so many strong conservatives coming out of California. I'm looking at those vote totals, and I just still see a very strong Republican Party there. What do you think it's going to take to get Republicans back in office in a lot of those state seats?
Well, it's going to take a lot of non-Republicans connecting the dots between the votes they've been casting all these years and the desperate conditions that they're now living in. California used to be the golden state. We had low taxes. We had the best highways in the world. We had the finest public university system in the world. Yeah. One of the finest public school systems in the country. We had abundant and affordable housing at every income, cheap electricity, cheaper water. All of that's been destroyed by the socialist policies that have been imposed in our state. Shouldn't be a surprise. That's what they always done. Wherever you see the socialists take control, you see the same political and economic and social pathologies. You see sky-high taxes, rising crime, rampant homelessness, chronic shortages of basic necessities like housing, electricity, water, gasoline. You see a bitter racial strife. You see failing businesses, failing schools, and ultimately fleeing families. That's what's happened to California, and Californians are going to have to get tired of that in order to effectuate a change at the ballot box.
Well, Congressman, we really appreciate, we like you on this program because you're very candid, you're forthright, and you just come loaded with a lot of common sense, and we need more of that in Washington, D.C. Congressman, good to see you, and thank you for the great work you're doing for the country.
It's my genuine pleasure, Todd. Thank you for having me.
All right. The great Congressman Tom McClintock, everybody, out of California. And I just like the way this guy thinks. And I'm with him. I think the president should have obliterated Iran from day one. And we probably would have already had this situation wrapped up. But again, the big breaking news coming out of the Middle East, the president announcing that he is going to seize Karg Island and take over Iran's oil infrastructure. Do you believe that's a good move? Yes or no? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, summertime is here. It's like 300 degrees outside in Memphis and 300% humidity. So a lot of folks, trying to figure out a way to slim down, look good when you go down to the beach, the Gulf of America, later this summer. And that's why I want to tell you about Calitrin. It is a proven winner, including with yours truly. I take it every single day, Calitrin, right before bedtime, and I am watching the pounds come off. Now, look, I want you to check this out. Many people have lost 40, 50, 60 pounds. Maybe you just want to lose 5 or 10 pounds. You're going to be able to do that with Calitrin. I want you to go check them out, toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com. If you want to look good in the bathing suit, toploss.com, or call them 1-800-325-4366. That's 1-800-325-4366. Now, look, if you buy three, you're going to get three absolutely free of charge. So you're going to be paying half price. Trust me, folks, Calitrin absolutely works. I take it every day, and you should as well. Call 1-800-325-4366. We'll be right back, America. Dylan, I've been following this guy. It started a few days ago. His name is Freddie. He's from Germany, and he's here for, I guess, the World Cup. Is it the FIFA World Cup?
Yeah.
And they're already, I didn't realize they're playing like matches in various cities, you know, around the country, just like Chattanooga, Tennessee, for example.
Wow. So I literally didn't know any of this. Like, you know, if you go to a city on vacation like Chattanooga, you'll see signs that say World Cup played here. Because I did go to Chattanooga, saw that. So. But I don't follow it that well.
So Freddie is from Germany, and I guess he's here with a couple of his buddies, and I think they're probably young guys. So he's documenting his journey here in America on social media, And he had nobody following him. He's got almost 400,000 followers now because he's writing and posting these videos about his adventures. And he went to a Buc-ee's, and it was one of the most amazing things. They ordered the brisket, and the guys are eating their brisket on corn, like stacks of corn meant for deer. So that's where they're eating their brisket from Buc-ee's.
Wow, he's getting the full experience. So he's in the South.
He's in the South. They went down to Auburn, and they went down to Mobile Bay, and they were just going nuts about it. They also went to a Walmart, and they were really taken aback by the Buc-ee's.
Yeah,
and that is, look, even for us Americans, I mean, that's a pretty breathtaking thing.
Some people go there just for vacation, just to Buc-ee's.
He says the European mind cannot comprehend this. And what I think is so great about all of this is the response to, oh, he's never seen he was in the stadium when the war eagle came flying down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, there's an eagle flying around the stadium.
Don't worry, it's normal.
I love it. But the guy says, I love Americans. We were about to walk an hour to the stadium in the rain to save money on Uber, but the receptionist at the hotel we were parked in front of decided to drive us there herself. That's a Southern thing right there.
Yeah, he did pick the best part of America to visit.
Oh, but let me tell you folks, WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia, Freddie and his buddies drove through Gainesville, and they were stunned by how beautiful Gainesville, Georgia is. And let me say something about Gainesville. It really is a beautiful, beautiful town. But Freddie was talking, they were posting videos of all of the big houses. And they have these huge, mansions in Gainesville. I don't know what the main street is, but it's, you drive past them as you're trying to get to WDUN's beautiful studios. Oh, and he also went to Waffle House at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Of course he did.
He says, great food, great prices, friendly staff, 10 out of 10. We will be coming back. Was there a fight? That's what I want to know.
I'm going to guess so, because the fight actually enhances my experience if I go.
Here's what the guy said about you folks in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. He says, just passing through a town called Gainesville, and this place looks beautiful. The houses are insane. Wow. They also stopped by the Gainesville Walmart. So anyway, and he went to Helen, Georgia, which of course looks like a little German village, and it passed muster because the Germans said it looks like a little German village. So how about that? I wonder if he's coming to Memphis. We should. So people are now encouraging, they're telling Freddie, all right, here's where you need to go next. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, Freddie may be listening to us on WDUN or wherever he's at now, maybe down in Pascagoula. On our Pascagoula station, we've got a station outside of Mobile that carries the show. Maybe we should be offering Freddie and his pals things they need to do on their American road trip. I want to know if there was a fight at the Waffle House. Freddie can't really give Waffle House a 10 out of 10 unless there's been a fight.
The hair and the weaves, all of it together.
You got to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's got to be a chair thrown.
Oh, yes.
There just has to. Oh, no, they're moving towards Houston now. So all you folks on Patriot Talk 920, we need to know what do Freddie and his pals need to do when they get to Houston, Texas? Wow, that's going to be a long drive, too. They're going to make it to New Orleans. Maybe Miss Janice will put them up. Just make sure they don't talk about politics. She's a little sensitive to that these days. If they're going to New Orleans, they got to go to Mother's, and you got to get the roast beef debris po' boy down at Mother's. You definitely got, and of course they got to go to Bourbon Street, right? Yeah, they got to go to Bourbon.
Get a
Street.
Beignet.
Got to go to Beignet down in the French Quarter. Yeah, Cafe Du Monde. You got to do that. And there's a grocery store. There's a grocery store around the corner from Cafe Du Monde. Somebody will know this. Where you got to get it's where the original muffaletta is. And if you haven't had a great muffaletta sandwich, you got to get it there. And by the way, anybody, this is just a rule of thumb. If you're anywhere in America and they serve a po' boy on the menu and the bread is not from New Orleans, do not order it. I'm just telling you. because that's not a po' boy. That's a sub sandwich. Subpar. All right, Freddie, you be safe out there, and watch your speed limit, my friend. The popo's on the lookout. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Stern.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stern's radio program. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Well, there's an interesting story from American greatness, and I want to share this with you and get your thoughts on it. New survey, 55% of Democrats would prefer living outside the United States. The poll conducted last month, when asked is there any other country on earth you would rather live in than the United States today, 55% said yes. This is an Elon University, YouGov America 250 national survey. They interviewed 1,000 adults. By the way, 38% of independents said, yeah, they would leave the country. Only 10% of Republicans. Those would be establishment Republicans. I'm thinking Tom Tillis, Cassidy out of Louisiana. Jason Husser is the director of the Elon University poll. He described a country that remains proud but uneasy as the anniversary approaches. I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, are you proud? Are you proud to be an American citizen? You know, even during the Democrat rule, I was proud to be an American, wasn't proud of what our leaders were doing, but I love my country. My country, right or wrong. That's what Stephen Decatur once said, right? My country, right or wrong. When the respondents were asked where they would choose to live outside the U.S., Canada topped their wish list at 19%. What a bunch of wusses. Followed by the United Kingdom at 9%, Japan and Australia, followed by Ireland, Switzerland, Norway, and Italy, as they pronounce it in Alabama. According to PJ Media, the same survey found 68% of adults said they are proud to be an American. Only 68%. Are you proud to be an American, ladies and gentlemen? 95% of Republicans answered in the affirmative, 62% of independents, and only 48% of Democrats. So an overwhelming majority of Democrats are not proud to be an American. Another poll conducted last fall showed a majority of Democrat voters aligned with socialism over capitalism and supported far-left candidates. The survey found that socialism is largely toxic to Republicans and many independents, explaining why far-left Democrats have had more success in places like New York City, but have struggled in red and battleground areas. The poll also found that a plurality of independent voters and Republicans prefer capitalism. American voters are now leaning away from Democrats as the critical midterms approach, and CNN poll showing Democrat support sliding. Congressman Jim Jordan, our good buddy from Ohio, summarized the battle for the midterms this way. I think the election comes down to two sentences, and those sentences are, they're crazy, we're not. And it's true. And look, the congressman also said that Republicans are going to have to start highlighting that. And he is absolutely right. And you folks in the state of Maine, you've got an up-close and personal look at crazy, slap crazy. Your Democrat nominee's got a Nazi tattoo, and he is a walking Me Too ticking time bomb. Unbelievable what's happening up there. But look, it's a great point. And I'm curious to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Are you proud to be an American? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And look, here's the great thing about it. I mean, I see all these surveys. And if you really don't like America, Delta is ready when you are. I mean, it really is that simple. Delta is ready when you are. They'll take you wherever you want to go. One-way ticket. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Very disturbing story out of the state of Washington. A male wrestler accused of sexually assaulting a teenage female wrestler, Callie Keeler, in December of 2025 during a high school girls wrestling tournament. The event sponsored by the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association. It is a disturbing story because this young man, well, we're going to let, you know what, we're going to let her attorney tell us the story. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Kate Anderson is senior counsel and the director of the Center for Parental Rights at Alliance Defending Freedom. Kate, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, let's break this down and tell us what happened and why in the world was your client wrestling a man, a young man?
Well, she didn't know ahead of time that that was what was going to happen to her. Our client was a 15-year-old girl at the time. She'd been wrestling since she was 4 years old, loves the sport, and she was one of the top wrestlers on her girls' high school wrestling team. Well, in a tournament in December, she was matched to wrestle against a male athlete who was identifying as female and wrestling in the female category. Her coaches did not tell her ahead of time. She went onto the mat, and during the match, this male athlete sexually assaulted her. He engaged in a move that was not an accidental, normal part of wrestling. It was a sexual assault and a crime. And she walked off the mat crying. She allowed him to pin her first. And her coaches saw all of this and did nothing.
And just to be clear, I understand this was what videoed as well. So you guys have evidence of this.
Absolutely. Her mom was videoing her match just as she does all of her matches. And you can see in the video what's happening. Her mom had no idea either that she was being matched against a male before she walked onto that mat. She was actually told after the fact. So this is highlighting the concern about the policies in Washington and many states. Not only are they letting male athletes into women's sports, creating a problem with fairness and equity for women in the sport, but now there's privacy and safety concerns. And here, this girl and her mom had no idea ahead of time, no opportunity to protect her ahead of time.
I'm curious. So you guys have filed a lawsuit against the state officials there. And I want to get to that in a moment. But what about legally? Were any police reports filed? Anything done about that?
Well, it was reported right away by mom to the school officials, who then waited for months to do anything about it until the issue really hit the media through some local coverage of the incident after the girl went public on what happened to her. That then triggered an investigation that was referred to police and is under investigation.
So there is some sort of a criminal investigation underway as well as what's happening with the state officials.
Correct. And we haven't received official notice yet of what that's going to result in. But we've gone ahead and filed a federal lawsuit against the state and the coaches and officials for how they treated this girl. They didn't tell her. They didn't tell her mom. And then they didn't protect her afterwards. And even now, they refuse to change policy or to assure her that if she goes back into wrestling, a sport that she loves, that they will not match her against a boy again.
Have they tried to apologize to your client? Have they talked to her? Have they tried to make this right?
No, not at all. And when we approached the school asking for her to be allowed to continue wrestling and be assured that this kind of thing won't happen again, that she won't be matched against a boy, they said that they cannot guarantee that. If she continues to wrestle, her only recourse is to figure it out herself and forfeit a match before she's wrestling a boy again.
That is just shocking. And I'm wondering if this is some sort of an anomaly. I know at least in track and field, you know, we've seen these kinds of stories, but nothing to the level of sexual assault here. But are you guys hearing of other incidents involving female athletes?
There have been a few around the country where we're hearing that this is bridging from a fairness issue into a privacy and safety issue, as you see some of these athletes in the locker rooms and saying some really inappropriate things to girls. That came out in one of the cases that was going on the East Coast. This issue is really important on every level. Girls deserve fair play and equal access to their sports. They deserve private spaces, and they absolutely should feel safe performing in the sports that they've worked so hard for. And yet the state of Washington is refusing to provide any of that to this girl or any of her teammates.
This is just simply unacceptable. I'm curious, how is your client doing? I can't even imagine what she's going through, what she's gone through.
This is extremely difficult. It's a really difficult thing to come forward on, to talk about. But she has been really clear that she does not want this to happen to other girls. And she thinks that people need to know what occurred. And so she's willing to stand up no matter how difficult it is, so that the light can be shined on this and truth can be told.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kate, again, we appreciate the great work you're doing, standing up for these young ladies when no one else will. And it's just appalling that something like this could have happened. Please keep us updated, and we want to be following this case.
Thank you.
All right, Kate Anderson, who is with Alliance Defending Freedom. She is a senior counsel and director of the Center for Parental Rights at ADF, and they're certainly doing some terrific work there. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break here, folks. Can you believe that, though? Again, this young girl sexually assaulted in the middle of a wrestling match, and no one did anything about it. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, tomorrow, Disclosure Day. We're going to find out if the alien people are real.
Yeah, I'm sort of not interested in this movie.
Really? So it's, I mean, people are already flocking to the movies.
Yeah.
And the reviews are not good.
You know, Steven Spielberg, he's proven himself to be a pretty good filmmaker, but, you know, he's making it seem like this is a real documentary movie.
Spielberg, and here's where Spielberg lost me. He says, okay, if you, first of all, are any of you going to church? Are any of you going to see the movie? If so, I want to hear from you. But Spielberg, his whole thing is, well, if you're a Christian and you go to see this movie, you're going to be questioning your faith in God.
Yeah, I don't like that. Like, why? Why are you trying to do that?
Yeah.
Can't you just make a good movie?
I don't think that's the plan. I don't think that's the plan. I think this is, as a matter of fact, there's one British guy who's not a theologian, but he's an academic. He thinks this whole thing is some sort of great big psyop.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, so there's that.
I've heard rumblings of like it being demonic and like all this other stuff. I don't see why you should go see this movie, really.
A lot of people are wondering what the point of it all was. And so the reviews are like, eh. They say anyone praising it to the skies and calling it Spielberg's best, totally out of their minds right now. That's what they're saying. But anyway, Spielberg says about Christians. He says aliens will have Christians and people of faith second-guessing their own religion. Spielberg says the movie will take the position of the church. Is God our God only on this planet, or is God a God for every system where there's civilization? That would mess up a lot of people. Really? Is that true?
I don't think that would mess up a lot of people. I mean, we believe that God created everything, so I don't think it would mess me up at all.
So I decided to go over to, you know, we're sponsors and partners with our good buddy, Dr. Michael Youssef, who's one of the brilliant minds, one of the most brilliant minds I know. And they have this great thing called My Faith Assistant. You know, we've been talking about it, right? MyFaithAssistant.com, and it's free of charge. You can go on the website. You don't have to sign up, and you can type in any question, and it will not only answer your question and give you a theological answer, it'll provide you Bible verses to actually talk about all this. So Right before the break, Dylan, I just asked MyFaithAssistant.com, what does the Bible say about space aliens and life on other planets? And here's the answer. Scripture does not directly address extraterrestrial life or space aliens. The Bible's focus is on God's relationship with humanity and his redemptive plan through Christ, not on speculative questions about life elsewhere in the cosmos. But he goes on to provide multiple Bible verses that might help us, and says, as believers, we can acknowledge the vastness of God's creation with wonder while remaining focused on what Scripture reveals, God's love, Christ's redemption, and our calling to follow him. Speculation about alien life, while intellectually interesting, is not a matter of biblical doctrine or spiritual consequence. And, you know, like what Dr. Robert Jeffers said on our show, a couple of weeks back, he said, you know, the Bible says God created the heavens, plural. So, I mean, that certainly, I guess it could leave it open. A lot of folks are wondering if the videos of the aliens that are in the movie are actual. They say they're so realistic, it looks like they're from government files.
I mean, you know, if he did that, you beat the government to it, I guess.
But Spielberg, here's his take. His take is that they're not aliens, but they're future us.
Oh.
So Earthlings are coming back. They're using space-time travel to come back.
Interesting.
It's the deer scene that creeps me out.
Yeah, I mean, that in the trailer, I mean, it makes it seem like a horror movie.
It does. No, it does. I know. It's you got some weather forecaster from Kansas City, and she starts like in the middle of the forecast.
I mean, the cast is pretty all star, but you know, Emily Blunt, the guy that did the priest in the one movie.
Oh, that reminds me. So there's a Nashville priest. Hold on. Now that you brought that up, I've almost forgot about this. There's a Nashville priest who is warning Christians not to go to see the movie.
Yeah.
Says it could be like demonic. I mean, that's what he thinks it is.
I don't really mess around with that stuff. I mean, you know, I don't even go see movies like Paranormal Activity. I just don't really mess around with it because, you know, I do believe in demons. I mean, I believe demons are real and people can, you know, try to depict that in movies.
So here it is. Father Dan Rehill, he's from Nashville, issued a warning. According to him, the film could serve as a conduit for demons and spread malevolent influences. What? I mean, it's possible, and I'm with you. I've never liked the horror movies because you just never know, like the Ouija board, right? You don't know what you're unleashing.
Seriously. Like, I don't mess around with that.
Yeah, I don't think Christians should either, but I think that's interesting that this Catholic priest is out there saying, hey, look, you better be careful because you could be opening yourself up to some sort of a demonic influence here. You know, it's an interesting thought. And again, I don't know with the government and all the government UFO files and all that stuff coming out. I've speculated, does it really have something to do with just promoting a movie? Are they trying to pull a fast one over on us here? What's really going on? That's what I want to know. Anyway, Father Rehill says there could be a curse over the Disclosure Day movie for all who watch it. It could have demons provoke them or Democrats. 901-260-5926. What say you, America? All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. It has been a jam-packed show this week. And by the way, if you missed our interview with Congressman Tom McClintock, you can download that free of charge. Just get our podcast over at toddstearns.com. Also, the all clear has been sounded at the Pentagon over that security scare earlier today. Also, want to say hello to our good friends at Patriot Talk 920. They are broadcasting from the Texas Republican Convention, and they have a great setup, a great booth, and I want to encourage you to go by if you are there at the convention and visit our good friends, our great affiliate at Patriot Talk 920 there at the convention. All right. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Republican strategist Luke Symbol. Luke, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I'm doing well. I am on the campaign trail in Tennessee. You know, Tennessee redrew its congressional districts, and I am on the campaign trail in the campaign car. I apologize for my background to those watching online, but, you know, campaigning is not necessarily glorious life, a luxurious life, as you know, Todd, from working on the presidential, I believe, press pool at one point for that campaign years ago. But we are burning up the rubber on the highway and having a great time.
Well, good. No, it is a, yeah, you don't get much sleep or downtime when you're out on the campaign trail. And I've done that many, many, many years. So glad I am not doing it anymore. Luke, there is a, there's an interesting story and I want to share it with you. It's happening in Memphis of all places. There's a raging controversy over the AAA ballpark, the Memphis Redbirds. The Redbirds are the, what, AAA affiliate of the, Dylan, help me out here.
Cardinals.
St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes.
All right. And they've been around for a long time. And quite frankly, the ballpark is beautiful. It's in downtown, sort of catty corner to the Peabody Hotel. And it has been in dire need of renovations and work. And, of course, that falls to the Democrat-controlled Memphis City Council. And there's they're needing some pretty immediate upgrades to the ballpark, and unfortunately, the city council says, "Well, we have concerns, and we're not ready to give you guys any money. We're not even sure if we're going to give you money to repair the ballpark." And one council member, I don't know if he's Republican or Democrat, Councilman Carlisle suggested that nobody really wants to go watch baseball games anymore, and that more people would be interested in pickleball. And I'm wondering, is this true? Are people, I mean, we're talking about America's great pastime. Are we, is it now being replaced by pickleball?
Yeah. Tell that to a family in one of Memphis suburbs that enjoys taking the kids out to a ball game downtown. They make a night of it. They'll go get the world famous Rendezvous barbecue ribs downtown and then walk over to the ball field. I can tell you, I think those statements were a little bit out of touch. Certainly, I don't think you're going to bring your family of four, family of five downtown to play pickleball when you want to go see a ball game and eat a hot dog and have a Coke and have one of those ice cream, soft serve ice creams and the little baseball hat. That was always my favorite growing up. But no, you know, it seemed a little bit out of touch. And, you know, I'm pretty against corporate welfare. I don't want to give money to companies to move, and I don't want to offer incentives inappropriately. But in this instance, it is an all-American pastime, baseball. And it is a cultural thing for America. It is an important piece of American history and American culture. And this is probably the appropriate time to say, look, they weren't asking for that much money in comparison to other items in the Memphis city budget. And so in my mind, why don't we invest in the things that Americans really care about and something that is historical to our country? I know we're giving a lot of money away to other really ridiculous things, but to me, that was a very out of touch statement.
You know, going back to the issue, which is being downtown where, you know, crime is still considerably high, it's something that folks upriver in St. Louis are dealing with on a much more serious and significant level because they have huge businesses just packing up and leaving the downtown area. But it just seems to me if you are the city and you own the ballpark and your job is to keep up and make sure that everything is up to date in the ballpark, then you need to be doing that. Otherwise, Memphis could very well lose a very popular, and yet granted, I think attendance is down, but I think that's because of crime. But I suspect that you're going to have people, that you're going to have this baseball team pack up and go somewhere else.
Look, Todd, I totally agree with you. And this is really analogous to what President Trump has done in our nation's capital and cleaning up our nation's parks. If you have a park that is cared for by the government, if you have something that the government has built, whether it is a baseball stadium, whether it is an amphitheater, whether it is something else, You need to take care of it. And what happens so often in Memphis and in other cities is these Democrat mayors, they'll build something and then they stop taking care of it, or they don't take care of our historical buildings. You know, we used to build amazing buildings in this country, amazing government buildings that our founders believed brought glory to God. Architecture was an act of worship. Beauty was an act of building beautiful buildings was an act of worship. And now you see governments that they can't mow the lawn. They don't pick up the trash. You know, you have illegal aliens coming into the parks, not taking care of it. Homeless people not taking care of it. In July of 2024, I was in our nation's capital and I had to step over homeless people in every single one of the parks. And now you go to the Capitol and it is clean and totally free of tents. And that's how it should be. And all you have to have is somebody like President Trump who says enough is enough. We need to clean it up. And it's up to us to put pressure on our local leaders to do the same.
You know, I keep thinking about Richmond, Virginia, and how they decimated all the beautiful parks and the Confederate mm-hmm. memorials and the statues. And the same thing was done here in Memphis, where they literally dug up the dead body of a Confederate war general because I guess it gave people acid indigestion when they were having a picnic in the park there. And now in the aftermath of all of that, the parks are run down. They replaced one. I think it was one of the parks downtown. They replaced Jefferson Davis's statue with a giant hair pick for at least a time. So again, to your point, I think people love beauty and I think people love our history. And it's really sad that people would destroy those kinds of things. Luca, I want to pivot real quick, though, because we've got to talk politics. And, of course, we had four major primaries this week. You had a situation in South Carolina where the most conservative guy did not get the president's nod. That was Ralph Norman. Instead, the president endorsed the lieutenant governor. And then in the state of Maine, the Democrats have fully embraced this pro-Nazi pervert up there, Graham Plattner. What do you make of that?
Look, I think President Trump cares very much about his record. President Trump cares very much about choosing people who can win. So I do think that there are some political calculations there with his pick in South Carolina. Maine is just the classic example that there are no more moderate Democrats left. And if you have a Democrat running, sounds kind of moderate, it's a lie. Look at Abigail in Virginia. There is no such thing as the moderate Democrat, and the party of common sense is the Republican Party right now. And it seems like the Democrats just don't seem to understand that this radical transgender ideology that they are still pushing is not popular. The open borders that they are still pushing is not popular, and they're just not getting the memo. And I think it bears well for Susan Collins in Maine. I think she's going to get reelected.
Well, yeah, it's a fascinating story. I think Susan Collins is safe. They keep electing her, you know, every 6 years. Surely the conversations, at least in South Carolina, where you have Republicans, a supermajority of Republicans, unfortunately, you've got a division there between the establishment and the conservatives. So, but I appreciate what you said, though, about these Democrats, Luke, because there are some folks out there, and there's a guy that's going to be running against Andy Ogles, we think, if Ogles wins his primary, and the guy sounds like a pretty much a moderate Republican, and he very well may be, Luke Symbol, but you can't trust these Democrats, because even if he will be ordered to vote lockstep with the Democrats on all these radical policies. You can't trust the Democrats.
You are exactly right. And that Andy Ogles race is a very good example of somebody who's acting like a moderate. And we saw this again in Virginia. And I have told Ogles' team, I said, tie Chas Mulder, the Democrat, to Abigail in Virginia with titanium cords. Run commercials, run mailers, tie them together with titanium cords and say there is no such thing as a moderate Democrat. Look what happened in Virginia. Their government is left-wing, and she ran on a moderate platform. And we need to win that race. We need 9 Republicans in Congress from the state of Tennessee. The state legislature acted. All the court cases have pretty much been dismissed. We're full on pedal to the metal to election day to elect 9 Republicans. And that race is very important. And we need to get the word out that there is no such thing as a moderate Democrat.
Luke, I know that you're working with our friend State Senator Brent Taylor, who is running for Congress in this yes. new 9th congressional district. And Charlotte Bergman, one of the people also running, she has a perennial candidate, has run multiple times, at least six times that I know of, and has lost every single one of those races. She is now.
And not only did she lose, but she did not perform as well as she could have. There were more Republican voters in the district than who voted for her against the Democrat.
We have, and by the way, just for the sake of full disclosure, we have invited Ms. Bergman multiple times to come onto the program, and as of yet, that has not happened. However, the reason I bring this up, Senator Taylor has been getting dozens and dozens of endorsements from not only around the state of Tennessee, but also within the Republican leadership. Ms. Bergman says she only wants one endorsement, and that would be President Trump's. She also is calling out Senator Taylor over his decision about certifying the 2020 presidential election results and when he was a member of the county commission. So it looks like mud is starting to be slung.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, when you try to throw mud, you got to make sure it's accurate. He was not on the county commission then. The certifying of the election results happens in the Senate and in the House, the United States Senate and United States House, and he was a member of neither. But of course, you know, there a little mud gets thrown at the front runner of these races. And again, full disclosure, I am helping Senator Taylor get elected because he's the best one for the job, and he has endorsements from Marsha Blackburn, Bill Hagerty. Just last night, Chair of the House Ways and Means Committee endorsed him. Steve Scalise has endorsed him. Tom Emmer has endorsed him. And so the endorsements are rolling in. And these endorsements don't mean that these folks agree with him on everything or that he agrees with them on everything. Of course not. That's ridiculous. But what it does show is that they know that he is a fighter who gets things done. And we have a lot of talkers in Congress right now. We have a lot of talkers in the state legislature right now, but very few get results. And I think what you have seen come out of Memphis with the Memphis Safe Task Force, with when he was the only one for years beating the drum, fighting against the Soros-backed DA, it got the attention of the president because he would not back down. And he had to push back against Republicans, the business community, and others. And he spent a lot of political capital and he got it done. That is why he's receiving so many of those endorsements. And so he's clearly the front runner. The campaign is going very well. It's a fun time out on the campaign trail while exhausting. And I think you will see a very good results for him in August.
Well, and I think there is one other key issue that that distinguishes Senator Taylor from Ms. Bergman. And that's the fact that Senator Taylor has actually won elections. So we'll just leave that there. And again, we certainly extend invitations to lawmakers from all across America because the people that we elect to Congress, it matters to everybody these days. All right, Luke Semple, appreciate you joining us today, and be safe out there on the campaign trail.
All right, thanks for having me, Todd.
All right, there you have it. In all seriousness, though, can we go back to pickleball and baseball? I mean, is this true that people are embracing pickleball and rejecting baseball? And especially for you Memphis listeners on KWAM, do you want to lose your triple A ball club? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There's now something trending on social media. Where is Freddie? Freddie from Germany, who is visiting the United States. And one of the things I just love about this story is that it's showing how awesome America is. And the fact that America is... Not, you know, we say America is the most exceptional nation on the planet. But when you have somebody from another country like Germany come over here and they get to see it for themselves And this is the first time they've experienced things like going to a Waffle House or going to, I guess they went to Wendy's. And I wonder what they thought about the square burger patties. But this is really amazing. So Freddie was also in Atlanta and said it was so green. He says it feels like you're in a forest the whole time. Well, he wasn't in downtown, but we get your point. Freddie said that, he also went to Taco Bell. Dylan, I would not recommend that for, I would
not a road trip. That's dangerous.
He's calling it the Holy Land. He had a full spread of food and got the Baja Blast.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
He said that the spot, Taco Bell, was one of the main reasons for him to travel to the United States.
Wow.
He also went to Walmart, which was kind of cool, and he got a cart full of Gatorade, socks, water, and Team USA branded merch.
The essentials.
Oh, so here's the deal. We do know what he had to eat at Waffle House. He had hash browns. You see, this is People Magazine. He had hash browns covered in meat and cheese. No, People Magazine. It's smothered and covered. Smothered and covered.
Get it right.
Come on. Anyway, he said they are going to be coming back. He's got to experience a Waffle House. There's got to be at least one person in the Waffle House with a gun. Otherwise, it's really not a truly authentic Waffle House visit. Oh, he was also very confused. He went to Chattanooga, went to Chili's, and got a table full of food and margaritas. And then that's when he said, I love Americans.
We're pretty good at that.
We're good people.
Yeah.
You know, he picked a good spot because if he was in the North, he would have been in the middle of the New York Knicks riot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, they said something like 60, almost 60 people got arrested last night.
I'm not surprised. Those Knicks fans are acting insane.
They're terrible. Horrifying. So
he anyway. Like messed up a whole like Five Guys.
And a couple of taxi cabs. Yeah. What did Five Guys do to you? You know,
seriously.
Throw the book at them. That's what I say. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the Big Show coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, the president pretty fired up. And early this morning, he said enough is enough. The president announcing on True Social that he was going to be taking control of Iran's Karg Island and also all of the oil and energy infrastructure there in Iran. Now, just a few moments ago, it's just insane. So now, just a few moments ago, the president came out and apparently we have changed positions again. The president writing that based on the fact that discussions with the Islamic Republic of Iran have been brought to the highest level of Iranian leadership and approved, I have, as president, canceled the scheduled strikes and bombings against Iran this evening. Discussions and final points have been, in both concept and great detail, approved by all parties involved. The naval blockade will remain in full force and effect until the transaction is finalized, and then the president signed his Truth Social post. Well, I want to bring into the conversation someone who knows a little bit about all of this stuff, our good friend, Brigadier General, retired, John Tykert, Dragon. So what do you make of all? I think the American people are just really frustrated and confused right now.
Todd, I feel the same way as the American public, and I have to say I'm an eternal optimist. But I am highly skeptical that Iran is actually negotiating finally in good faith. You know, the last time that we were on the verge of decisive strikes was 9 weeks ago. We entered into this ceasefire that actually never took effect, number one, because we've seen some strikes, but number two, because Iran never abided by the only condition of that ceasefire, which is fully opening the Strait of Hormuz, no strings attached. And I have a really bad feeling now, 9 weeks into that two-week ceasefire, that they're trying to play us again.
So here's my concern. First of all, I don't think you can trust the Iranians, and it's not a ceasefire if they're still shooting at you, right? I'm not a military guy, but that seems to me to be that's not what a ceasefire is.
It's not, and I'll tell you, every time the ceasefire has been broken in the last 9 weeks, and there's been several cycles of this, it was a provocation started by Iran. We responded in a minimalist, proportionate fashion. They struck again, and then essentially we stopped. And each time, I think, Todd, they were testing us. They were testing their primary hypothesis, which is that we are eager to make a deal and that we did not want to resume large-scale military strikes. And that gave them the initiative and put them in the driver's seat. And I'm fearful that we're letting them off the hook again.
So we had Congressman Tom McClintock on just a little while ago, the congressman out of California. And he's a hardliner here. He says that we should never have stopped. We should have gone in. We should have done what needed to be done. He said we should only stop. He said we should only stop shooting when they surrender. And that's the way we used to fight these wars. What do you think about the congressman's thoughts?
To some extent, I agree. Now, I don't mind the first time 9 weeks ago, President Trump had a sense that they were really willing to deal, that he entered into the ceasefire. But once you enter into a ceasefire like that, the moment the other side backslides like they did almost immediately, you've got to hit them hard. Because once you let them off the hook, then they gain the initiative, which means they are leading. It means that they have control of the situation and you're just following. And to some extent, I'm sad to say, Todd, I think we've been following their lead for the last 9 weeks.
Yeah, what I see here is I see a lot of disagreement within the administration over what to do with Iran. I think that's what we're looking at here. And I guess the president's getting advice from both sides, I have to imagine.
I believe that to be true. And, you know, to some extent, looking all the way back at the beginning of this, we actually pulled our punches significantly from the very beginning, that we gave them a sanctuary to export oil even during the conflict. We never used the full force of the United States military against regime strongholds and internal security hubs. We didn't strike energy facilities or power plants or transportation or logistics facilities. And I think that let them off the hook as well. And I think right now some of those doves that somehow believe that Iran can be trusted to make a good faith deal have gotten into the president's ear, and he's giving them yet another chance to demonstrate that they're unreliable.
The other part of this, you know, earlier today, I mean, we were prepared for, I guess, Armageddon tonight for whatever that was going to look like. But the president did specifically say, and I want to make sure I'm reading this correctly, he said, at some point in the not too distant future, we will be taking Karg Island and other oil infrastructure points. So I guess my question now is, okay, is that still going to happen, or is that going to be up in the air based on whatever, you know, negotiations happen?
Todd, I think now he is backtracking from that, and I actually have been arguing extensively all along that Karg is the linchpin here. Now, I understand taking Karg Island adds a lot of risk to the U.S. military. I have been advocating for gradual strikes on the oil infrastructure on Karg Island. And here's what I'm thinking, Todd, that you say to Iran, tomorrow we're going to take out permanently 10% of Karg Island. You'll never be able to get it back. They don't abide by our terms. We strike. We tell them tomorrow we're going to do the same thing and take out another 10%. And then we eventually take out 90% of their ability to fund the regime. That's the way you do it without actually putting much American lives at risk. And unfortunately, we never did that. I like the threat, but you have to follow through to maintain credibility.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you there. In general, I think we need to explain why this is so important. I mean, this is the primary oil export hub for Iran here. I mean, this is Tehran's lifeline, what's happening on that island.
That's exactly right. And, you know, there's two things, as irrational as we like to imagine the regime is. There's two things that they actually care about. They want to stay in power today and they need the funding to stay in power tomorrow. And by taking Karg Island or destroying Karg Island, you essentially strangle the regime, and they have no chance to fund their ability to threaten externally or to suppress internally. That's why it's the key. That's why it's the linchpin. And I wish we would have made a move against it 9 weeks ago, and I really wish tonight would have been a big night.
John Tykert joining us, retired Brigadier General. He was in charge at Andrews Air Force Base, Edwards Air Force Base, among others, and just a great American patriot. You know, General, this is where I think the American people are just puzzled here. We were originally going in to make sure they didn't get the nukes. And then I think it shifted to regime change, which is now off the table. And I just don't think people understand why we are there and what the end game is to get everybody back home so that inflation can go down and gas prices can go down and grocery prices can go down. We can get back to normal.
Todd, I want to get back to normal, but this regime has been a threat for almost five decades. They kill Americans. They threaten our interests in the region. And being on the verge of having nuclear capability is an existential threat to our interests and to our country. But I also think the only way you solve this problem permanently is going after the regime. And starting at the beginning of this, the Israelis started doing that, and we were focused on operational and tactical targets. And I'm okay with some of that initially to roll back their capabilities to defend themselves and project power. But then you need to use air power in its most effective way, which is striking at the sources of power and the things that they value most. In Air War College on day one, you talk about that use of air power as the most effective way, and we never used it. And we need to roll back the regime so that they cannot threaten us again. And I wish we would have stuck with that alongside of the nukes.
I'm curious about the Israel component here, because the president is a little frustrated with Netanyahu right now. And I guess if we're to take what's been made public at face value, the U.S. was caught off guard by some of these Israeli strikes here. At what point, or does there ever come a point where the president tells Israel, if you guys keep this up, you're on your own?
I think maybe, Todd, but here's my belief that a year ago, during the 12-day war, we forced Israel to stop, though they wanted to keep going. And of course, by entering into this war 90 days ago, we realized to some extent that they were right and we were wrong, that we needed them to keep going. And I think they know, because they live in that dangerous neighborhood, that the only thing the regime in Iran understands or even respects is strength, capability, will, and resolve. Our interests are almost perfectly aligned with Israel's here. We need to take it to the regime, and we need to stand alongside of our allies in Israel, because they've had the right inclinations all along. And I think to some extent, because we're 10,000 miles away, that we see ourselves in a position of safety when that regime actually threatens us every single day.
All right, John Tykert on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And I would encourage you to go and check out his website, johntykert.com. That's T-E-I-C-H-E-R-T, johntykert.com. And John, you're like a writing machine here. You have a new book out with our good buddy Brad Wells. And the name of the book, In God I Trust, Making Our National Motto My Personal Declaration. I want you to give your book a good plug here.
You got it, Todd. And by the way, I'm just trying to stay as prolific as you are. But this is a perfect America 250 book. It's filled with great American history and how we, from the beginning as a nation, depended on God, and how we as a nation and we as individuals need to apply those truths today. And I encourage you to check it out on Amazon. It's a great way to celebrate our nation's 250th birthday.
Well, it's a terrific book, and I was honored to be able to be one of the guys endorsing it. And congratulations to you and to Brad Wells, who pastors a great church. What is Grace Way Baptist Church? Did I get that right? Up on in D.C.
We are in Eastern Market, just down from the Capitol. Come check us out if you're ever in D.C.
You know what we got to do, Dylan? We got to get Ben Dieter over to. We got to get Ben Dieter to the church.
Yeah, we do.
We got to do that. General, we're gonna have you kidnap someone on Sunday morning. We'll send you the deets.
I'm ready. You know what? I might be a fighter pilot, but I'm also a special operator at heart.
Oh, there you go. A special ops. We may be the only talk radio. Well, Buck Sexton, maybe. So we're the second radio show with a special ops team. I love it.
Yeah, so I think that we might have tipped our hand by saying we're going to kidnap him, but that's all right. I'll come up with an alibi.
I love it. All right, Dragon, good hearing from you, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
All right. John Tykert, everybody. Retired Brigadier General. May I just say, what a freaking mess this is turning into with Iran. This is insane. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's just us, and we're going to have a conversation here. What do we need to do? You've got the ear of the White House. What do you want to say to the White House when it comes to Iran? Do we, again, accept Iran at face value? Do we allow another ceasefire? Or do we just, I don't know, go in and obliterate Iran, take over their oil industry, and be done with it? What do we need to do here? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Going right to your phone calls. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go right to our phone lines, 901-260-5926. Lisa in Moorhead City, North Carolina. Hi, Lisa. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Todd. I'm glad that you're doing well, and I just adore you.
Well, thank you.
I didn't want to chime in on Iran because, you know, I've got other important things, but I would suggest that we turn around and leave and maybe salvage some bit of credibility that the United States might have left. But the reason for my call, I was more upset in this month of, what do we want to call them, celebrations. I'm going to get on to you about something. You refer to someone, and I can't remember who it is, which MSM, but you refer to them as PMS. And as an XX individual who has suffered from that debilitating disease condition, I would have to say, you know, in this Pride Month, those that want to be XX and want to have those debilitating conditions, evidently they're mentally ill. So I can't imagine some guy that wants to suffer from that type of condition. But I don't know who it is that you call, but I kind of find it offensive. There's a few things that I disagree with you on, and that one is one of them. But, you know, when I do hear you say it, it is kind of funny.
Oh, so, you're talking about PMS Now, the cable news channel.
I don't know who you call. You call somebody PMS.
Oh, no. It's the actual news cable news channel. And the reason why, because you just described the conditions one experiences when suffering from PMS, and that is the same sort of pain and anguish that people suffer when they watch that cable television station, PMS Now.
Gotcha. Well, I would still think that those, you know, in the Pride Month, and then also we have Juneteenth. I don't know if there's a something going on there with that, why they've chosen June. But anyways, I just was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, who in the world would want to sign up to have PMS? You know, even us women don't like it. So,
Lisa, it's the craziest thing, and there have been these stories of these men who identify as women claiming they're suffering from that, which there's no way humanly possible. My question would be, let's talk about your diet. What have you been eating? You know, that would, you know, so I don't know, but you're right. I mean, these people are not jobs.
Well, and one last thing, the last person that you had on, the general, was he an infant? He sounds like an infant. Was he enlisted at 2? He sounds so young. I thought he's a retired general.
He is a retired general. Look, he's got kids. So one of his daughters, they've got 3 kids. The eldest daughter, I think, is at the Air Force Academy. I think all of his kids are serving in the armed forces, and his wife happens to be one of the most brilliant scientists working at Annapolis. She's a professor of, I believe, chemistry. So just an amazing Christian family.
Well, he sounded very, very young.
He does. He does sound young, but he's old. I'll just not really. I think he's in his. I think he and I may be close to the same age, but yeah, he's in his probably late 40s, early 50s.
Well, thank you for letting me voice my opinion on PMS.
Well, absolutely, Lisa. Look, this is what we're here for. So, all right, Lisa, God bless you. And let's go to John in Dawsonville, Georgia, WDUN. John, what do you think about the president's decision here, the flip-flop?
Todd, it's your old friend John from Dawsonville.
Hello, John.
I just wanted to say I've been a staunch Trump supporter since 2016. But I just, here lately with all this Iran stuff, I don't know what's going on with him. He's lost his cojones or something. He needs to go over there and do like the Brigadier General was talking about. We shouldn't ever stop, you know, whenever they went back on that ceasefire, he should have just bombed them into oblivion until they just had to surrender.
John,
I can't believe he believes if they sign some treaty that they're going to stick to it. Everybody knows they're not going to. I mean, anybody knows that. I mean, I can't would fall for that.
Yeah, John, I hear you. I'll talk more about this coming up after the break. I've got to run, but John, I'm agreeing with you on this, and it is a dangerous thing the president is doing here. We're going to take your calls as well. 901-260-5926. John says president might have lost his cojones. What say you, America? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And again, the breaking news just a few moments ago, President Trump now backing down again. The president had earlier today said it was going to be pretty much Armageddon in Iran. The president also announced that he would be taking control of Karg Island, which, by the way, that's where 90% of all of the oil flows in Iran. So if you cut that off, Iran is dead. I mean, dead in the water. So, but the president did not say if he's backtracking on that. And also his threat to take over all the oil infrastructure in Iran. So that's the very latest. And we're curious here, what do you want the president to do? Is it time to call it a day? Is it time to go in and just regime change Iran? What do you want the president to do here? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Michael Wilson, the Lone Star Conservative from Patriot Talk 920. And we have got a lot going on in Texas, of course, a Republican convention. And Michael, I understand that's where you guys are broadcasting from.
Yes, we're broadcasting this afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m., but we're here right now at our own booth alongside our friends at Gun Owners of America. And the energy is actually very much on fire. I'm very excited. A lot of people don't realize, but the convention is where so many of the decisions get made for what the Republican Party is going to look like here in the state of Texas. And I always say, despite all the problematic leadership and whatever else, the Republican Party in Texas, I think, is really paving the way for a lot of the Republican parties all across the country.
Well, especially with the race there for the U.S. Senate with John Cornyn. Mm. And I have to imagine there are a lot of other moderates out there. I mean, your legislature is a little screwy, but you guys going to be getting that straightened out.
Yes, and that's a lot of where the Republican Party comes in. You know, this is why we've said for a long time we want to close the primaries. We know we've had issues with our open primary system where you have so many people who are certainly going to vote Democrat in the November election, who have voted Democrat in every election for the past 20 years, who are getting to vote in a Republican primary, hence why you have a lot of the John Cornyns and Dade Phelans that you have. And the actual party, the Republican Party here in Texas, have been trying to shut that down. They've been trying to shut everything down in regards to the freedom of association, allowing us to come back and actually have a say in who our representation is from a party position. And I think it's absolutely incredible to see that on display. I'll give you a really big example of this, if I may, real quick, which is that we are right now hotly debating the pro-life movement in Texas. The party platform for quite a while now has been an abolitionist equal protection movement saying, hey, you actually shouldn't murder your babies and we should call it murder. And we have a fight right now on the internals of the party from people saying, you know what, we want to come in and we want to say, no, we just need more funding for a lot of these help centers. We need more of this, no justice. And I'm happy to say that what it looks like right now is the vote is certainly swinging the way of the abolitionist movement to say, no, it is murder, and we're going to treat it like it is.
That is so shocking to hear those words coming out of your mouth, that Republicans would be willing to go soft on abortion. And yet, when you look at the 2024 Republican Party platform, the language regarding life was, in fact, watered down. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised that this is happening.
I know. And that's why I keep saying, you know, the Republican Party of Texas is so crucial, because this fight right here, where we do say we're not going to back down, we're not going to play softball, we're going to be aggressive and say, hey, justice is justice and murder is murder, regardless of who the person is or if they're in the womb. That's so crucial to leading the National Republican Party and all the other states' Republican parties to say, hey, look what Texas is doing. Maybe that can be an example to everybody else.
Hey, Michael, we've been talking about this Carmelo Anthony thing for the past couple of days. Mm. And I'm just wondering how that is playing there in Texas, and also this really anti-white rhetoric that's coming from a lot of people, including Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett.
I have not seen what Jasmine Crockett said, but I got to be honest. Whatever you say she said, I would automatically believe, because I know how crazy Jasmine Crockett is. The reality is, and we saw this with the Daniel Penny case, we saw it with the George Floyd case, over and over and over again, regardless of any of the facts, we've been told that we have to adhere to a certain race-based narrative, even when race plays no part in it. And I said this on my show the other day. I said, if you came out and you only gave the initials of the people in the Carmelo Anthony case, and you said it was K.A., and you described the situation as K.A. or A.M., Austin Metcalf, you gave those facts out, you would see none of the progressive leftists defending Carmelo Anthony like they are today. It is all a race-based narrative, which isn't just pro-black like they want you to believe that it is. It also is, frankly, anti-white.
Well, it is. And, you know, it's a tough issue to talk about. We're just not afraid to go there, you know, because we need to. And the fact now that you've got people that are calling for blacks to just randomly go and attack white people for simply being a white person, that's unacceptable. And by the way, that would be national news if the races had been reversed.
Absolutely, it would be. And you have to think back. Remember all of the summer of love and the fiery but mostly peaceful protests in the wake of the George Floyd debacle. And we were told even back then, regardless of any of the facts, that we had to believe with absolute impunity a certain narrative. Otherwise, we were racist, we were crazy, we were hateful and bigoted. And I'm so sick and tired of it. And I'm so sick and tired, frankly, I want to be honest, since I'm here at the Republican convention, I'm very frustrated with so many of the Republicans who come out and they join the progressives on these things rather than being willing to say, hey, I know this is going to get me in trouble. I know this is going to get me labeled a racist or whatever terminology they want to throw around. But my job as a radio host and really just as a person is to speak the truth, regardless of what that truth entails.
I'm curious. So you guys have a great booth there, all new website you guys have launched there at Patriot Talk 920. What's that experience like meeting a lot of your listeners? I have to imagine people are coming by and saying hello.
Oh, it's so exciting. And, you know, I still say I'm relatively new to radio as a young person. It has been so fascinating to see people that I would never know listen to the station, show up and say, hey, I listen to your show every morning. Hey, I tune into the station. I live over in this area or this part of town. It's been so exciting to put faces to all of that and realize the biggest part of it, which is that we're having a real quantifiable impact on the greater Houston area, on the state of Texas. And all I can hope is that all of that inspiration and hope that people believe in is something that we continue to give each and every day on the station.
Michael Wilson, host of the morning show there, Lone Star Conservative on Patriot Talk 920. Michael, we've got to talk about this situation in the Middle East, and it's incredibly frustrating, I think, to a lot of people. It's frustrating to me. The president said, that's it. We're done. We're going in. Armageddon Day. We're taking over Karg Island. Not even before lunchtime, he's backing off of it and saying, okay, we're going to give him another shot. How does this play among the base?
I got to be honest. This, again, shows you, I think, a little bit of the difference between the establishment and a lot of the grassroots. I honestly, every person I talk to that's just an individual who has a job, goes to work, comes home, supports their family, everybody I talk to is kind of fed up with the promise of no new wars and then getting new wars. And I understand you can make any justification for almost any decision you make. But I said from the start, I had a lot of my peers who said, hey, it won't go on longer than 4 weeks. It won't go on longer than 5 weeks. And if it does, I'll change my mind, who aren't changing their mind. And I, from the beginning, said, this is not our business. This is not something we should be involved in. And I'm a little lost now on what result we're even hoping to achieve by continuing doing what we're doing.
I don't get it anymore. I don't think anybody really understands. I don't even think the government knows why we are over there right now, which was originally supposed to be to destroy the nuclear program. And I don't think that's even anywhere close to why we're over there now.
No, now we're getting all these new things about, well, we have to take over the oil or we need regime change. And we're getting the same narrative we've got from the military-industrial complex for the past 50 years. And I think people are lost because that was the exact promise that Donald Trump was to stand against. And I'm not trying to come out and be anti-Trump or anti-Republican, but I do think it's important that we hold our elected leaders accountable and say, hey, this is exactly the thing we didn't want. This is exactly the thing that the conservatives stand against. You're spending our money, you're spending our time, you're spending our resources. And God forbid if you start spending our young men and women, sending them over there, should things go wrong, all for what? And I think that's a fair question that we have to be asking in order to hold our own government accountable.
Michael, how does this play in the midterms? Let's just say, because right now, I'm saying this war continues and it may go right up to the midterm elections. I don't, and if that happens, inflation's not going down, gas prices will not be going down, and neither will all those grocery store prices either. How does this play among Republican voters?
Yeah, you know, I've said a long time, there's blessings and cursings with anything. One of the blessings of Trump kind of being the Republican Party these days is that he has a lot of sway, a lot of influence, and has done a lot of good things. One of the curses is that when you see the so-called leader of the Republican Party today, who's financing these things, funding these things, and fighting for these things, people are going to say, well, then does the Republican Party stand for breaking promises? And if that's the case, do I want to elect Republicans? Am I going to have, for the Republican people that are out there listening, do I have the incentive to even show up and vote? Not that I'm going to change and be Democrat, but do I care enough and trust them enough to even show up? And I hope the answer is still yes, because there are so many good things. I've been talking about the border, immigration, LGBTQ issues. James Tallarico, you brought him up, an excellent example of this. But the reality is that where the Republican Party is heading under Trumpian leadership right now is making it look like a dishonest party. And people are going to stop showing up to support a party that's dishonest, even if they don't like the alternative.
It's a great point. All right. Well, Michael Wilson, by the way, is your boss. You know, Matt Velasquez, the fine owner of Patriot 920. I hope you're doing time and a half overtime right now. Is that how that's working?
I should probably talk to him about that. Yeah. I haven't heard anything about overtime. I heard, please just show up.
He's at least feeding you. You need an agent here, Michael. That's what I'm getting at. So I'm happy to work
a
deal for you.
I need some sort of management agency.
No.
Some sort of management agency out here.
No. We'll do that for you. So I did the same thing with Dylan. I worked his contract. Dylan, how's that working out?
So far, so good.
Yeah, good answer. All right, Michael.
I'm gonna get you on my team, Todd.
Hey, I got your back. Michael Wilson, out reporting live at the Texas Republican Party Convention. All right, Michael, watch your back out there. Be safe.
Thank you. You as well, Todd.
All right. Good guy. Matt Velasquez is a great guy, too. All right. 901-260-5926. We're going to take a break. When we come back, opening up the phone lines, your reaction to President Trump changing his mind. He's giving Iran another chance. We will not be bombing Iran tonight. And it's unclear if the president is also backing off of his announcement earlier today that we will be taking over Karg Island. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Reuters is reporting that somebody etched the words 8647, which is slang for kill Trump, assassinate Trump. They etched that in the grass on the National Mall. This would be the section of the mall between the Washington Monument and the World War II Memorial. And there are aerial shots of photographs taken by Reuters. It's very clear somebody went in there and it looks like they used some sort of a round device. The big numbers, 8647. We understand U.S. Park Police and National Guard members are on the scene. And, of course, this is all very disturbing with America 250. You've got the big state fair starting up very soon. And this weekend, you've got the big fight night at the White House. So we'll keep you updated on that. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926, Grady, Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Grady, what's on your mind?
Hey, how are we going?
Grady, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say that I stand behind Trump. I just wish he would hurry up and go ahead and do what he's going to do. Because these people have to think of, us Americans have to think about it. If Iran had had a bomb in 2001, what would have happened on 9/11?
Grady, it's a fair question. And look, I was one of the few people in conservative talk radio who stood alongside the president when he said we're going in. And I don't believe it to be a new war. I believe it to be a continuation of the war that Iran started in 1979 when they stormed our embassy and took our people hostage.
I served in 82 to 86. So I know what you're talking about. And I believe that fully. I just wish we would hurry up and go ahead and finish this. Because it needs to be done.
Grady, I'm with you. I'm tired of all this nonsense. There are no ceasefires with these people. You can't trust Iran. I just have to believe that there are some people that are incredibly close to the president, and I don't want to name names, but very, very close to the president, who are opposed to this war. And by the way, the vice president is clearly one of those individuals. And I think the president is just deeply conflicted because he's getting guidance from a lot of different people, and that guidance is coming from people he trusts. And so I think the president needs to trust his gut here, and we've got to – it's either – let's either fish or cut bait, as we say in Tennessee.
I've heard that before many times.
Yes, sir.
But I think we really need to fish.
Agreed.
I think we need to fish hard.
Agreed. That's why I was glad that we were finally going back in. So let's see how this plays out. Grady, thank you for that call. Thank you for serving our nation, too. Let's go to Ocala, Florida. Richard, WOCA, our great radio station down there. Hi, Richard. What's going on?
Howdy, Mr. Todd. Appreciate you taking my call. One thing, Todd, I've been in Florida for close to 30 years, but I was born and raised in Tennessee, and I agree with exactly what you're saying. It's time to finish the job. If he doesn't do it, he's going to regret it for the rest of his life. Them people, there's no negotiating. They hate God, they hate America, and they hate Israel. And I'd already had the thought, the same thing your other caller had. If they get a nuclear weapon, 9/11 is going to look like a Sunday school picnic compared to what they're going to do. They're going to hit Israel. They're going to hit America. And Trump needs to take them out. He needs to take that island. He needs to get all the oil and sell it and bring all that money to America, to all the war cost is paid for. He needs to arm them Iranians, do whatever he's got to do, and however he's got to do it, to arm them. And he needs to do a complete regime change. And I feel like that with all my heart. And if he don't, he's going to regret it, and so is the American people.
You know, it's a mess right now over there. It doesn't have to be a mess, but we will see how it plays out, because who knows? I mean, the president may change his mind between, you know, now and tonight. So we just don't know. But as it now stands, the president says he is calling off the airstrikes against Iran tonight. But Richard, you are correct. If Iran ever gets a bomb, they're going to be using it. And it'll either be Israel or us. I mean, that's very clear. Richard, got to run. Thank you for the call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. We'll talk about this tomorrow. There is a black podcaster, and he is now calling for all of you black Americans to pack your bags and move to Africa as a result of the Carmelo Anthony verdict. And we'll get into some of that tomorrow. I don't know why. I wish I could tell you. I don't know why. Geez, a little people these days. You know, it's the heat. I think the heat is affecting the way people think. Hey, I want to alert you to this, ladies and gentlemen. Now is a great time to pre-order a copy of my new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And here's why you need to do it right now, so you can be assured you will get a copy on launch day. Now, the first press run, it's 10,000 copies. We think that's going to go very, very fast, which is why we want you to pre-order a copy and guarantee that you get your copy on the opening day of the book sales. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You can pre-order at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Target, Walmart, wherever you buy your books. All right, get out there. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the radio, noon o'clock.